Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HR Latte, your first cup of talent management whipped to perfection.
And there's my Twitter popping up on my mobile device. How fitting for the show today. Welcome to HR Latte. This is Rayanne Thorne. I'm the founder, creator, host of HR Latte. I've been doing this since last May, and I'm very excited to be here this morning wrapping up my series, The UK Connection. I have a very special guest this morning, Mike Taylor. Hey, Mike, thanks for joining me today all the way from Winchester, England, United Kingdom. Thanks for joining me for my series this month.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation.
And can you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll jump right in?
Yeah, sure. Well, my background is HR and recruitment, and I used to be involved as an in-house recruiter many years ago working at IBM, where I ran their graduate recruitment program for a couple of years. I then moved on to Motorola for a short time and then ended up at Nokia, depending on how you want to pronounce it.
To the US here, we call it Nokia, yeah.
Yes, I thought you did, yeah. Yeah, so when I was at Nokia, that probably 1999 to 2001, that was when the internet was really starting to take off. But when I joined, Nokia didn't even have a UK website. Everything was done from the .com.
Oh, wow.
Site. So it's very early days, and we were looking at introducing systems to automate processes and stuff like that. So, the internet has been around a long time, and having worked for a mobile company, I have a particular interest in the mobile space.
So let's talk about that. And just to be clear, I met Mike a year and a half ago when we were talking about the Mobile Recruitment Awards. He asked me to come on as one of the judges. And I have to tell you, Mike, my very first mobile phone was a Nokia, Nokia.
Oh, good.
So I have an affinity for that little teeny small phone that fit into my pocket,
yeah.
And I could never find when it was at the bottom of my purse. It's interesting how we've gone from having a giant phone and nobody wanted that, and we went down to this little teeny device, and now we're back to, you know, the 6 Plus and the Note and all these phones and devices that are huge that people love to carry now, though, because the screens are so wonderful. And so let's talk about the Global Mobile Recruitment Awards. Tell us what's that all about and how it came to be.
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you. Well, if I go back a bit, explained when I left Nokia back in 2001, I set up web-based recruitment. And what web-based recruitment does, it offers online recruitment marketing services to companies. So we worked in the past with companies, for example, running their Google AdWords campaign to drive traffic to their careers website. And there's one particular company which we're particularly proud of. I can't tell you who it is, unfortunately, but we ran an AdWords campaign for them, and we saved them £300,000.
Wow.
That's about $500,000 in recruitment agency fees. So AdWords is certainly a very powerful tool. But I went to a conference, actually, in Amsterdam. I think it was in 2008. And one of the most popular tracks there was something called social networking, which not a lot of people had heard about. So that room was particularly packed when all the other sessions were almost half empty. And I suddenly thought to myself, if I was back working at Nokia and someone said to me, you need to find out about this social networking thing, where would I go? And I thought about it, and there wasn't anywhere to go. So I thought, oh, perhaps I could come up with an idea. So I actually launched Europe's first ever social media and recruitment conference back in July 2009. So
wow.
That was exactly a month after ERE ran their first one in June 2008 in the US.
Okay.
And that went very well. And since then, we've run five of those. But in 2010, I could see the way that social media was going, but I could also see a future for mobile as well. So I thought, again, if someone asked me where to go to find out more, where would I go? And there wasn't anything. So I actually launched the world's first ever mobile and video in recruitment conference, and that was back in 2010. So my interest in mobile, obviously from working at Nokia, but from an interest in running an event point of view, we've been doing that since 2010. So we've got a very good feel in terms of what's actually going on.
Very, very forward thinking. And so When you think about last year launching the first, and this year you're going to be, this is the second annual Global Mobile Recruitment Awards, and we've been building up to this day, and I'll let you talk a little bit more about that. But how did it come about launching this completely online awards? I mean, you're not gathering for a conference. It's all done completely online. So tell us about that.
Yeah, well, the idea from that came when we ran the second mobile recruitment conference in 2011. Nothing seemed to have changed much. No one seems to be adopting things, and it seemed very slow. And to be fair, it's still fairly slow today.
It is.
I know,
yeah.
iMomentus have that survey that comes out every 6 months showing the adoption of the Fortune 500 companies. And although it is going in an upward direction, it is still quite slow. So the idea of the awards really was to help raise the awareness of mobile so people could actually see by looking at the people that have won and what their mobile application or what their mobile website does, to actually raise the level so people can actually start to think, well, perhaps it's not so complicated after all, because I've got all these examples here of people that are doing it and doing it well. And it's just a case of biting the bullet and actually going ahead and commissioning someone to actually build it for them, because at the end of the day, it's not really that complicated. All you're doing really is transferring a web to your mobile device, make sure people can search and apply for a job, and that's it at the end of the day. But people, I think, are frightened of technology, and I think that's half the battle. So by having the awards, showing off what people are doing, how it works, that's why we came up with the idea.
Perfect. And so tell us what's happening today.
Yeah, well, we're actually excited because we're actually announcing the results today. In fact, it's just gone 2 p.m. UK time, so it's 10 a.m. Eastern, so in two
right.
hours' time, so that's 4 p.m. UK time and 2 p.m. Eastern, we'll be actually putting a video on the Mobile Recruitment Awards website at mobilerecruitmentawards.com, where people will be able to watch the actual results being announced.
Wonderful.
So exciting times.
That's at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific. I will actually post out the link from HR Latte on my own personal Twitter handle, and we'll make sure that the world gets to see the results from the second annual Global Mobile Recruitment Award. So I know it's a very busy day for you, and I really appreciate you taking this quick half hour to talk to me about and wrap up my series. I mean, I wanted you to be my last guest for the month, and I really appreciate you doing this, especially given what's going on in your life right now with the Mobile Recruitment Awards. So let's jump into our next question, which is, and this is something I've been asking each of my guests this month. Matthew Jeffrey was on, and I had Ken Ward earlier this week in a bonus episode, and Lisa Scales and Stephen O'Donnell. So we've had a really good conversations happening this month regarding the differences between the U.S. and the U.K. or North America and the UK when it comes to recruitment, because a lot of times we get mashed into Canada for good reason. You know, it's a very quick hop across the border there. And so tell us, what do you think the biggest difference is between our side of the pond and your side of the pond when it comes to recruiting?
I think obviously because of the geographic size, it makes a difference. I mean, certainly if you go back 20 years, and I think it's 20 years ago this year that JobServe launched in the UK. They were like the first UK job board.
That's right.
And
that's
20
right.
years ago. And before that, I think in 1993, they started simply by sending out faxes as a way of actually circulating jobs. So it's amazing when you think over 20 years now, it's a very,
that's
very
insane.
Long time. Yeah. So I think probably a while ago, 10, 15 years ago, I think, well, my point of view, the US was ahead of the UK in terms of technology and the way they did things. But I think that gap has actually got smaller and smaller, because in the early 2000s, the standard phrase over here was, let's go and see what's happening in America, and in about 12, 18 months' time, that will then arrive over in Europe.
Right.
So that was
right.
the standard sort of terminology or phrase that people would tend to use. But I think as things have grown, the response times or the difference between things being launched, and with social media now, of course, it's launched everywhere at the same time. So I think the differences and advantages of different technologies appearing in one country and not another have more or less disappeared. So I wouldn't say there was a great difference overall now in terms of the difference between the North America and the UK.
Okay.
Obviously, from an advertising point of view, you've got your regional areas.
Right.
Far, far bigger than the UK. We have national newspapers, quite a few of those. People still, believe it or not, do actually still advertise in newspapers. But I know you don't have so many. and obviously the advertising is linked to the job site on the newspaper job board anyway. So, I wouldn't say there's a massive gap compared to what there was.
And that's been the general consensus, is that that gap has slowly gotten smaller and smaller. I think that, obviously the UK had more of an agency focus for a while. Yeah. It seems to be that there is more and more recruiters going in-house and working corporate in the UK, but there is still that strong agency focus. And an agency recruiter or a third-party recruiter can still make a really good living in the UK, as they can in the US, if they have something unique about them, something special about them, what makes them better than the others, right? Because it so much is driven in-house these days with the budgets that are now being assigned to talent acquisition departments and just the changes in the use of mobile and social media and moving away from the Craigslist and the newspapers of the world. It's so interesting to me that you say that there's still print advertising, and I know that there is as well here in North America. It's just fascinating to me that it's still an option, because it is still quite costly to advertise in a newspaper. I can remember, Mike, and you can probably too, because you mentioned the fax machine, the most exciting sound in my executive recruitment firm where I first started off was the whirr of the fax machine. I've written about it. I've talked about it, because it was the best sound ever. It meant that a resume was coming in, or it meant that a job description was coming in from a client, right? So it was a great sound and always made for a very exciting day, or at least an exciting few minutes if it didn't turn out to be the right candidate at first glance, which, as an experienced recruiter, you learn how to look at a resume right away and say, we're going to move forward with this candidate. I want to talk to them. So let's move on and talk a little bit about employment branding. This is something that I've covered quite a bit over the last few months on HR Latte and candidate attraction. I asked Ken if he thought that they were, Ken Ward, if he thought that they were one and the same, or if it is something different. Does it mean something different when we say employment branding or candidate attraction? Are they the same thing? It seems that it's on everybody's minds these days. And so what does candidate attraction mean to you, or employment branding, and if there is a difference between the two?
I think a bit more of a candidate attraction as methods of actually getting your recruiting message out there to reach people. And compared to 10 years ago, I know when I worked at Nokia, if we had a vacancy, you would look through your internal database first, and you'd use a local recruitment agency, or you put an advert in the newspaper. So you basically only had three choices. There might be someone else in the company that knew of someone, so you might have the referral as well. But they were really the three or four choices you had of finding people. And if the people didn't read that newspaper on that particular day, the chances are you weren't going to reach them. But you've got so many different ways of attracting candidates now. Obviously, social media is quite a biggie. You've got the traditional job boards. You've got the sharing on social as well. So, but the thing about, I think the key is in the word attraction rather than actually advertising to people all the time, because so many adverts every single day. It's like between 3,000 and 5,000 exposures to someone's advert somewhere during a 24-hour period. I don't know where that figure came from, but it sounds horrendous if it's true. But it's just making – it's almost like, whereas advertising is interruption marketing, that you don't want that. You want the inbound marketing where people can come across you, whether it's on a blog post or a podcast or a radio show or something like that, so people get attracted to you rather than the other way around.
You know, I love that you said back in the day that you would go to your internal database first, because the companies that I worked for didn't do that. It was my idea to do that, and it was shocking to me that they would, every time a new search came across our desk or a new recruitment came across our desk, we were going out and sourcing a whole new field of candidates instead of going back to those numerous resumes that we already had of previously sourced candidates, and that's one of the reasons why we have so many different search tools and why data is so important right now. It's understanding and recognizing that we have a lot of the information we need right before us. We just aren't utilizing it. So I love that you were doing that very early on before we were even talking about it.
Yeah, sorry, our internal database was quite advanced. It was called a filing cabinet.
that's the same kind of database I had. And it's one of the reasons we didn't go back to that, because we didn't have a really solid method of filing. Everything was filed alphabetically, right? And so if I had to go through that database, I had to go through one by one and pull. If, for example, I was looking for somebody that was an oncology manager, right? So I was having to go through every single file and pull the oncology managers instead of going to a section titled oncology manager. And you know, the software that we have today allows for us to search that much easier than having to go through, you know, a whole wall of filing cabinets. Those days. Do you remember? I remember my back and my knees aching from searching
through
filing
cabinets. So it's interesting, isn't it? So why aren't people making placements quicker?
I just think they're still not doing it right. They're still not doing it right, you know. And I did a webinar yesterday with Tweet My Jobs and Mira Greenland. And one of the things that we talked about and tried to help our listening audience understand is that it costs so much money. You lose revenue by leaving a position open, right? And the average organization has declared in a Career Builder survey that they are losing $14,000 or more per open position. If the position stays longer than 3 months, or, you know, if it stays open 3 months or longer, and some companies are reporting $25,000 or more of lost revenue, not the money that it costs to recruit, but the revenue that they're losing by leaving that position open, the revenue that employee that should be sitting in that open seat could be bringing to the organization. So it's a different way to look at it, right? The lost revenue versus the cost of hire. It's a very different way to look at it.
And if it was a salesman, they had an open position for, then it would be even more, wouldn't it, because of the deals they weren't able to win.
That's exactly right. And so there are formulas out there. I found this really interesting formula on a LinkedIn post the other day, where you can take how much revenue is coming in, divide it by the number of employees, and determine an average cost per employee that applies to that individual. And then you can say, we can only afford to lose $10,000. So divide that by the revenue, right? And that tells you how many days you have to fill that position before you start losing, really getting in the negative, right? So it's not a difficult formula, but it does take some time to figure out, okay, this is how much revenue we have per year. This is how many employees. Let's figure it out. What are we losing per day that a seat is open? And of course, it's different for a salesperson. But if your team is not, your organization is not very much sales focused, right? It could be the average for each individual. So it's an interesting way to think about open positions within an organization. Let's talk about recruitment marketing and how it's changed. You mentioned social networking. Wow, remember when we used to call it that?
Yes,
you mentioned social networking and how that has shifted how we communicate. It's a big part of what's going on in recruiting today, and the conversations have changed as a result. As well as, you know, one of the things that I always cite is I communicate differently in my personal life now as a result of mobile and social. Of course, it's going to change how we communicate in business as well. So let's talk about you now. And web-based recruitment. What are you doing to help your own clients to understand the difference that social and mobile can make to their talent attraction? And what are you advising them these days?
Really, it's going back to the ways that they can actually attract people to their organization. There's so many different ways of doing content marketing these days. I think I touched on it earlier. You obviously, a lot of the successful companies do have blogs. They do get a good following. If someone's may not be actively looking for a vacancy in that sort of industry straight away, but the fact that they follow someone who's in that industry, when an opportunity comes up, they're more likely to actually explore that opportunity. It's looking at different ways in terms of like audio, like podcasts. I remember going to a podcast conference back in 2007 in London, and it was just about to take off. And for some reason, I don't know what happened, but it sort of dipped for a while. But now, I mean,
it's
podcasts,
back, yeah.
They're back. And it's interesting to see. It's like over like a 7 or 8 year period, it was exploding, then leveled off, and it's going up again. So I'm not saying podcasts are right for every sort of organization, but blogging certainly is a good strategy to have. And really, it's really using social media effectively. A conference a couple of years ago, someone mentioned from stage about social media and Twitter and not vomiting your jobs was the phrase they used. So in other words,
right.
Don't just use social media just to vomit
just
jobs
to
all the time. Yeah,
right.
you need to be a bit more strategic than that and share and engage people, otherwise you're going to lose them. So it's all about engagement, I think, and actually getting a following, not to say, hey, I'm here, come and work for me, but building that relationship over a period of time. So that's the sort of things we're concentrating on at the moment.
And I know that you are helping clients understand the value of social, understand how they can use video to attract talent. Are there some simple ways, do you have any key ways that you are helping those clients by kind of maybe doing it, do it yourself?
Yeah, I mean, the video is interesting, actually. Again, it's been around for a while, but it's getting easier day by day now, actually, to create your own videos. Now, for a long time, I think people have been afraid of video. They don't want to be in front of the camera, or they think it's very expensive. They have to get a big crew in and a presenter and something like that. But there are various packages out there that have been around for quite a while now. Like, for example, Animoto, you can actually upload photographs or short video clips, press the button, add some music, and it creates the video for you in a certain style that you've chosen in advance. If you don't like it, you just press the button again, it'll go away and do it again for you. So if you want to do something simple, that's a great way of doing it. But what we've started to do now is, just going back to social media, 2009, social was all about getting shares, people to follow you, and all that type of interaction. You want to build up a biggest list of followers as you possibly can, say, with Twitter and things like that. But the majority of the big social media businesses now, of course, are now gone public. So they have shareholders to answer to, and that's why they've all got their own advertising platform.
That's right.
So if you take Facebook as an example, they've got a fantastic targeting ad system that you can actually utilize from a recruitment point of view. So you could target people by job title, company name, where they work, what their interests are, who they follow, all that sort of thing. And you could actually create a short video and deliver that video to that person in their newsfeed. So this is getting really, really clever in terms of how you go out and find people and deliver a message directly to them. So that's an area we're getting a lot of traction in at the moment in terms of using social and video together. And I'll just give you an example. At the end of last year, we did a short campaign for a company up near Birmingham in England. They were looking for a salesperson, and they struggled to find someone for about 3 months. So we used a combination of targeted advertising on Facebook and a short video, and they found someone within a week, and they started 2 weeks later. So getting the right message in front of the right people at the right time.
But the scariest
thing about all of this, I went on a course a couple of weeks ago, which was run by this particular company that I helped them recruit for. And I was talking to a trainer at lunchtime, and I said, do you know, does so-and-so still work here? He said, no, he's left. I said, that's a shame, because last year I ran this campaign on Facebook to help them recruit staff. He said, yes, I know. I was that person. So I actually ended up speaking to the person who actually came and worked for that company through the Facebook ad and video that we did. Now, how spooky
great.
Is that?
That's great. Well, that's a great testament to the work that you're doing too, right? And the impact and the difference that it can make on somebody's life when you get there on the ground level and meet somebody that was impacted by work that you did. It makes a huge difference, and you walk away feeling like, you know what, I am contributing. I am giving back. Are you still finding resistance with organizations when it comes to social and mobile, or are they starting to ease up on that and accepting that, you know what, it's not going away?
Yeah, I think the acceptance is definitely not going away, but I think people like to be at the leading edge now in terms of what's going on and just trying to be more strategic rather than just posting stuff on Facebook
right.
and Twitter like everybody else does. Because I don't know if you noticed over the 12, 18 months, you know, Twitter, more than half the posts now on Twitter, the tweets seem to be with pictures and video.
Yeah,
and that really
absolutely.
Starts to stand out now. A Facebook
right.
and a news feed, if you see a video, you're more likely to go to that particular news item or sponsored post than you are just to read something else. So it's very much going visual. Visual really does make a difference, and it grabs your attention. So your eyes are automatically drawn towards the video or the visual more so than just traditional text.
You know, and it is part of what I like to call the microwave generation. You know, it's just I want it fast, I want it now. And Twitter allows for that quick view. Am I interested in this based on a hashtag or based on a picture or a video that's accompanying it? And it allows you to make that quick decision as it's going past your stream. I mean, I follow quite a few people, and so I need to be able to make that decision quickly, much like you do as a recruiter. When a resume comes across your desk, you do the quick eye scan, right? You look at the key points and say,
yeah.
Do I want to talk to this person? So I also blame Sesame Street for the fast, you know, the fast flashes of information. It's created a generation and generation and generation of folks with, I will say ADD. Don't have the attention span of a gnat anymore, right? So, Mike, when you consider your own future, right? So your own future as a consultant, as somebody who puts on relevant conferences for an industry that you love, when you consider your own future, can you share with us three key things that you do on a consistent basis, or that has become what you do now, has evolved over the last couple of years, that keep you relevant, that make sure that you have happy clients, that you have happy candidates? Can you share any tips or tricks or advice for us?
Yeah, I think the main thing we try to do is keep our clients updated as much as possible in terms of what's going on in the marketplace, and also to make suggestions to them, because you can carry on doing the same things in the same old way, but you'll get the same old results. So there's more and more vacancies now. I think in the US it's a record high for a number of years, and the same in
the
UK.
Exactly right.
So it's going to be a candidate-led market now. So you need to do something to stand out, to make people say, hey, I didn't know you were recruiting. Oh, but I see your competitor down the road is recruiting as well. So why do I need to choose you? So companies need to be more proactive in terms of, like, what is a unique selling point? Why should I go and work for that company rather than someone else? So it's really keeping abreast of what's going on in the market, keeping the clients updated, and making suggestions to them. Like Facebook and video ads, you probably wouldn't have thought would be a good idea 12, 18 months ago, but with video getting so popular now on Facebook,
right.
It's a great place to be. So things change all the time. And digital video ads are the next boom in terms of online. So from a recruiting point of view, people are used now to watching video, so you want to be part of it.
Sure. And so you have clients that are interested in doing it now?
Yeah.
Great. And do you have any tips for efficiency? What do you do that keeps you on task?
I try and automate as much as possible. That's the main
uh-huh.
thing. And anything I can actually do once and it just takes care of itself is a great thing in my mind. So I know when I do, we're developing a training course now for recruiters on how to make their own videos, because we recognize that not everyone can afford to go out and get an external partner to come in and make it. So we're developing a course where we go step by step on how to actually put a video together, where to get the resources from, what sort of software you can use, what sort of web-based programs are out there, and what
great.
Free programs are out there. So now I could deliver that to 20 people in a classroom, or I could develop it, put it on the web, and sell it globally. So you do the work once, and it's out there all the time. So, yeah, automate one-to-many rather than one-to-one.
I love that. So make sure you let us know when that's complete, because I'll be happy to push that out and share it with
you.
The wanting world. And so I know that we're going to wrap up the show. HR Latte always goes way too fast. There's always too much to say and not enough time. And I know that you have a very busy day with the announcement coming up in a little while. So do you have any last words of wisdom, Mike?
Be open. Be open to change.
Oh, that's a great one. I remember I tell this story when I was a new recruiter and I had just purchased my own Palm Pilot. Remember the Palm Pilot?
I don't know if you remember it.
It was a handheld address device and you could track.
Like a PDA. Yeah.
Yep. And I had purchased my own. It was about $500. And I was, you know, a single mom. And that was a very expensive purchase for me to make. And my boss, and I had just bought it maybe a month prior. And I had just gotten the hang of it. And I loved it. And I loved how I would walk in the office and I'd plug it into my computer and everything would sync. My boss poked his head in at the end of business on Friday and said, "Hey, Monday morning, we're switching to Outlook. We won't be using Palm anymore."
Oh, no.
And I was furious. I was furious, you know, and I just, how dare you? I spent my money and I'm not switching. I'm not going, you know. And I went home that day. And of course, Saturday morning, I woke up and I did an online search looking for what is Outlook? How can I learn about Outlook? You know, and this was many, 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 many years ago. And of course, Outlook is the standard that everybody goes to in business today for, it's not what I use anymore, but it's what I used for years and years and years, you know, 10, 15 years. And I came back in on Monday morning, ready to roll, and you know, I apologized to my boss, you know, and said, I'm just not used to quick change like that. But I have changed over the years. I am very agile now, and enjoy learning about new softwares and new techniques. So I love that. Be open. That is a really great advice. My favorite part of the show, Mike, and this is my selfish part of the show, is when I get to ask my guests some of their favorite things because it opens my world. It helps me learn about new things. What is your favorite food?
Well, I'm quite partial to a steak, and the reason I say that is that we don't have very good ones in the UK.
So whenever
I go abroad, I'm about 5 years ago, I went to New York with three friends of mine for someone's 50th birthday. And we had a fantastic steak. I can't remember exactly where, but I can still picture it now in my own mind. So you set the quality in terms of steak.
Yeah, a good food has a lasting impression for some reason. We remember it. And it probably has more to do with the atmosphere and the conversation and everything that's going on at that time. But yeah, you can get a really good steak in New York.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
Your favorite book.
Favorite book? I've actually been reading a book by Michael Snelsner. He runs Social Media Examiner.
Oh, yeah, I know, Mike. Yeah.
And it's a book called Launch. So it's a fantastic story about how he actually came up with the idea for Social Media Examiner and how they went through the launch period to where they are now. They've grown to like 360,000 subscribers to their email lists.
Yeah.
So he goes through how they started from scratch and... anyone looking to launch a product or a site, you know, it's a very good reference point to do that.
Yeah, Michael was right in yesterday. I happened to be down in San Diego for the Social Media Marketing World Conference, a big event, lots of people walking around carrying their mobile devices in hand and taking selfies and posting out to the world that, hey, look where I am, look who I'm with. So, and your favorite place. Now, Mike, I would like to tell everybody that this can be a room in your home. It could be your favorite chair. It could be a park close to your house, or it could be a remote location, some place that is your favorite place in the world.
My favorite place that I've been to in the world is the Maldives in the Indian Ocean.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's thousands of small islands. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I'm not at all.
Yeah, golden sandy beaches, and it's about 7 years ago we did a holiday there on a boat. The boat was about 180 foot long. It had 30 cabins, and we just went from island to island, just sailing and. You come across the sandbar in the middle of the ocean. It's probably about 500 feet by 300 feet, and they would lower the tender boat off the actual big boat itself, row you ashore, put up the umbrella, give the cool box plenty of drink, and you just go snorkeling off the edge. And the tropical
I feel
fish.
Like I'm there. So this is the Maldives in the Indian Ocean.
The
I'm going to definitely...
In the Indian Ocean.
Look that up. Trying to find a new place to go that I haven't been to yet. I'm looking at Mallorca, Spain, and so Maldives is now on my list. Thanks. See, this is why I ask these questions. I'm very, very, very selfish. Very selfish. And last but not least, Mike, what is your favorite thing to do?
Two things, really. Well, I like to watch football, or soccer, as it's called in the U.S. over here. I've been doing that for many, many years. And we go dance. My wife and I, Janet, go dancing on a Tuesday night. It's called Mo Jive, or modern jive.
Wow.
You know it as Ciroc, but it's dancing to very fast, popular music.
Yeah.
But
I love that.
It's quite a workout at the same time, actually. So it keeps us fit.
Well, I wish there was a place around here where I could go get some Mo Jive.
Yeah.
Well, today has been wonderful, Mike. Thanks so much for joining me today. And I know that you have to get ready for the big announcement in about an hour and a half. 12 noon Eastern Time, the announcement will be made for who the winners are for the second annual Global Mobile Recruitment Awards. And Mike Taylor has been my guest of Web-Based Recruitment. Mike, thanks for joining me today. It's been a pleasure.
It's my pleasure, too. Thank you very much for asking.
You can find Mike on... Let's see, I think it's at Mike E. Taylor on Twitter. And please listen in and watch. We'll be making the announcement a little bit later today on who the winners are of the second annual Global Mobile Recruitment Awards. I'm wrapping up my series of the UK Connection. I want to thank all of my guests this month, Stephen O'Donnell, Lisa Scales, and Matthew Jeffrey, Ken Ward, and of course, my guest today, Mike Taylor. And I will be launching a new series next week. I'll be kicking it off with Michael Vandevort. We'll be talking about positivity at work, and Mike will be giving us some inside clues about how to create a positive environment to make a happy workforce. It has been my pleasure. Everybody, have a great day.